Good morning. I'm Gail Brewer, City Council member and head of the Committee on Technology in Government. So this hearing is starting, and we're here to talk about open government data. I'm joined by Council Member Bill de Blasio, and I know other members are on their way. This is a very hot topic in that at what we call Andrew Roche's conference, but it's also called Personal Democracy Conference, where some of us were this morning, the mayor in a video, I guess he was busy with something else, but in a video mentioned that he too is interested in this topic. And so needless to say, it's something that I think New York City can be cutting edge. It sort of follows on the interest that I've always had on making sure that government data is public. And we're also much thanks here today to Jeff Baker, who's counsel to the committee, Colleen Patchner, who's the policy analyst, certainly Kunal Mahatra and Sam Wong from our office. So just to open, let's talk about open government data. It's the concept that the publicly accessible data generated by the public sector should be available to the public electronically via the internet in open raw formats. And I think raw is a key word there. Adopting open government data standards would make access to information easy and affordable while also promoting transparency and accountability. Open data permits deeper and more varied analysis of government data by enabling two or more data sets to be integrated together. In December 2007, a group of 30 open government advocates, I think that actually translates to a lot of companies is what that really should say, developed 8 principles that define open government data, and they include: complete, all public data should be made available. Public data is data that is not subject to valid privacy, such as personnel records or health records that are personal, or security issues or privilege limitations. Timely, data should be made available as quickly as necessary to preserve the value of the data. Accessible, data should be available to the widest range of users for the widest range of purposes. Machine processable, data is reasonably structured to allow automated processing. So we've introduced in number 991, known in the City Council terms of intro number 991 of 2009, and it requires all public records to be made available on the net through a single web portal, formatted to enable viewing by web browsers and mobile devices, and also in raw or unprocessed form. This bill would mandate that records be made available without any registration requirement, license requirement, or restrictions on their use, and be presented and structured in a format that permits automated processing. It requires DOIT, which is the city's Department of Information Technology and Telecommunications, to promulgate rules establishing an internet record policy and a technical standards manual for the publishing of public records on the net by city agencies by January 2010. In other words, there'd have to be an analysis and a plan for how each agency would conform with intro number 991. Basically, the legislation requires each agency in consultation with DOIT to review the public records under its control and to develop and submit an agency compliance plan to the mayor and the council no later than January 2010. In addition, agencies must classify the public records under their control as immediate, priority, and legacy. Immediate, any public record that can be made available on the net within 30 days of the agency acquiring or creating such record. Legacy, any public record that due to its size, complexity, or technology constraints cannot be made available on the net by July 4th, 2011. All other public records shall be classified as priority. Now, the good news is that this topic is being discussed, I think, in New York today. I can also, it is also my understanding that this particular bill goes into legislative format, whereas other states and cities have certainly like in Washington, discuss this, but it's been on a policy, regulatory, and not legislative. And I also want to say that at a participation camp workshop at New York University this weekend with Matt Kohlreiter, Sam Wong and I were there and talked about this bill. I know some of you in the audience were there, and I appreciate your participation. And I think there were lots of great ideas as to how this information can be used. So we will hear from the administration, but we were fortunate that in that workshop was Craig Newmark, who's always trying to deal with Craigslist. And obviously one of the issues that we all would like to get more information on is housing, where's the mold, where's the affordable housing, where are ways in which we can use this data that would help people who are trying to deal with the housing constraints in the city of New York. And, of course, there's no end, and we'll talk about them later on, as to the type and quality of the data that could be available to New Yorkers and, in fact, everyone who's on the net. So without further ado, I'd like to call up the administration and ask them to participate in this hearing. Somebody here from the administration who's going to testify? Thank you very much. Why don't you introduce yourself? And we know that the commissioner of DeWitt was sitting next to me early this morning, so all he has to do is sit and listen all day, and you guys actually have to talk. So we appreciate your being here. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair Brewer and members of the committee. I am Sami Naeem, Assistant Counselor to Mayor Michael R. Bloomberg, and I'm here to testify on behalf of the administration on Intro 991. Joining me today is Ariel Dworkin, Special Assistant for Policy and Governance. Transparency and accountability have been the cornerstones of the Bloomberg administration since day one. Indeed, over the last 7 years, we have worked hard to provide New Yorkers with the information they need to hold their government accountable. A few recent examples include NYC Stimulus Tracker, a new tool that allows citizens to track how the city is using funds that stem from the Federal American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. This website enables the public to see what projects are being paid for with stimulus dollars, when the contracts for these projects are approved, and which contractors are involved. NYC City Map, an interactive map feature that allows users to search by any address, intersection, community district, or city council district, as well as hundreds of place names, and to add desired layers atop these chosen locations, such as aerial photos of the city, building and property information, poll site locations, census data, neighborhood health profiles and statistics, restaurant inspection information, location of educational facilities, and locations of transportation hubs, and much more. Citywide performance reporting, a revolutionary online tool that gives New Yorkers access to critical performance measures from more than 40 agencies in an easy-to-understand snapshot format. CPR was recently nominated for a prestigious Innovation and Government Award from the John F. Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University. eSubmit, a new program offered by the Department of Buildings that allows developers to submit required items and supporting documents electronically, facilitating public review of construction projects in neighborhoods across the five boroughs. Ayers Paris. A Department of Education service that we are developing, which will allow every parent or guardian of a student attending public school to track their child's current and past academic performance. And just this morning, Mayor Bloomberg announced 5 technology initiatives to improve accessibility, transparency, and accountability in city government. One of the initiatives that we are particularly excited about is NYC Big Apps, the first annual software application, which we believe will enhance the transparency of city data. Modeled on Washington, D.C.'s successful Applications for Democracy initiative, NYC Big Apps will encourage the use of publicly available operational city data to develop open-source applications, commonly referred to as mashups, that will benefit New Yorkers, improve business efficiency, and save taxpayer dollars. With NYC Big Apps, developers will be encouraged to create innovative applications with nearly 80 raw data sets from across 32 different city agencies and commissions to make living, working, and playing in New York City easier and more enjoyable than ever. The bill before you today is intended to build upon the progress that the city has made, and we commend the council for its desire to make government more open, accountable, and transparent. However, Intro 991, as currently drafted, raises a number of complex operational and fiscal issues that are of concern. First, the bill's definition of public record would require a full review of the city's record holdings to determine which records would be required to be released to the public pursuant to the Freedom of Information Law, or FOIL. Currently, the city stores at least 2.5 million cubic feet of documents in off-site facilities, in addition to the records that exist in agency offices and facilities. This roughly translates into 6,250,000,000 pages of documents. Second, the task of reviewing these documents will fall on agencies with limited resources. Currently, agencies dedicate at least two people to review documents pursuant to FOIL, a record access officer and a records access appeals officer. These officers are generally city attorneys who serve their agency in a number of ways, advising policymakers, drafting and reviewing contracts, responding to legal claims against the city, and, of course, responding to FOIL requests and appeals. In order to comply with Intro 991, these officers would have to review all of their agency's record holdings to determine which records are proper for disclosure. For example, whether the release of a record could, by reason of its disclosure, violate a legal recognizable privileged communication, such as an attorney-client communication, undermine a law enforcement investigation, publicize a commercial trade secret, or invade the personal privacy of an individual. This is a Herculean task, to say the least. Third, once this review is complete, the bill requires the records slated for disclosure to be converted to electronic format so that they can be posted on the internet. According to the Office of Management and Budget, the cost of scanning all these documents is estimated to be more than $500 million. Finally, once the documents are slated for disclosure by agency FOIL officers and converted into electronic format by administrative staff, IT personnel must then construct and maintain an infrastructure capable of accommodating these records. The Department of Information Technology and Telecommunications has informed me that they would not only need to hire substantial additional support staff and information architects to implement this bill, they would also have to construct an entirely new record management system with disk storage and data processing power capable of meeting the demands of Intro 991. While we clearly support developments to make government more transparent, accessible, and accountable, the placement of a seemingly limitless amount of data online is not necessarily the most effective approach, especially at a time when public resources are stretched to the limit. Indeed, the vast majority of the records currently warehoused by the city are rarely the subject of FOIL requests, and it is unclear whether placing them online would make them of any more interest to the public. Therefore, it would seem not to justify the extreme expense of doing so. Of course, moving forward, as we develop new record retention strategies, opportunities to make new data available can be harnessed in a more cost-effective manner. Indeed, NYC Big Apps is the beginning of this kind of forward thinking. Accordingly, while we agree with the spirit and intent of Intro 991, we cannot support it for the operational and fiscal impacts it would impose. Thank you for allowing me to testify. And I would be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Okay. Thank you. At the workshop at NYU, I said that's what you were going to say. So I appreciate your coming here to say it. The question I have is, do you have any knowledge of what the federal government is doing along these lines? Are you aware that President Obama is, with a much larger budget, trying to accomplish what 991 is laying out?
Well, just this morning, in respect to the five initiatives that were announced this morning by the mayor.
I was there when he announced them, yep.
The CTO for the White House, Anish Chopra, said that these five announcements align well with President Obama's open government initiatives and that, you know, these practices that we are undergoing are best practices which should be replicated by other governments across the country. So I think we're in step with what the federal government is doing, and I think we're providing data that meets user preferences and user needs. And I think it's a successful strategy and recognized by the White House as being so.
The other question I have is, when you talk about FOIL, having worked in an administration myself, I know that it is really a lot of FOIL requests. Sometimes people FOIL all agencies. They file individual agencies. Depends on what they're looking for. How much do you think FOIL costs on an annual basis versus if you put the information up, would that not eliminate the need to do as many FOIL requests as are requested?
Right.
You didn't mention the cost of FOIL in your testimony.
One thing I would say is that this sort of amounts to a FOIL request of all records, which is a tremendous task. Again, more than 6 billion pieces of paper have to be reviewed. our approach to transparency initiatives generally is to build them along a customer service model and to tailor them to user preferences and needs in order to provide New Yorkers with information that is meaningful, easily to understand, easily accessible, and which keeps them informed and engaged with government.
Okay. Do you know that other cities on their own without legislation are doing what 991 lays out? Washington, D.C. as an example, obviously a smaller municipality. Have you looked at any of their policies?
We definitely have looked at the Applications for Democracy, which has proved to be a great model for NYC Big Apps. And again, I mean, that was part of the inspiration for us to create this open data source competition that we're pursuing in the next year.
Okay. But when agencies provide data, don't they scan it in sometimes so it wouldn't be so difficult to put it on a computer and get it out to the public? How is data accumulated now? Say, for instance, on the homeless. I sit on general welfare with Councilmember de Blasio, mm-hmm. and there's a great deal of data that those who are homeless and anything that comes through HRA accumulates. How is that collected now? Because it's my impression that internally that data is available.
What we do now is we try to engage New Yorkers and speak into their native tongue, which is plain English. And so we provide data according to the public's preferences and needs and to respond
what
to
I
their
call
specific needs.
Sort of complaint-driven or request-driven is what you're saying.
Well, a lot of times we preempt those requests, and we have, for example, 311 online. We're providing a lot of information online so that New Yorkers don't have to call 311 to find the information they need. Another example is a recent partnership with Google, where we will be able to track what New Yorkers are looking for, what information they're searching for on the Internet, and to be able to provide that information to them before they have to come to us. And we think this represents also cost savings as far as the call center volume. I mean, if we reduce the call center volume by 10%, there are annual savings of over $4 million.
Okay. I mean, I feel very strongly the other way, which is that the public doesn't know what data they need because they don't know what the raw data is. And I think that it shouldn't be up to all of us in government to decide what the public should have access to. Obviously, you have to take certain security and other personnel and health issues into consideration.
Well, I mean,
but I really do think that the raw data should be available to the public.
Again,
we
design our applications around the public, not around what we want to see or what we want out there. And an example is citywide performance measures. A lot of times they may show negative trends in street cleaning, for example. We are able to identify areas that need improvement and adjust our operations and resources accordingly. So we rely on this information as much as the public, and we believe that good information makes for good management and good public policy and good government.
Again, though, let's go back to the FOIL issue. Do you have any sense of how much it costs to provide two or so FOIL officers per agency per year?
The salaries of those particular...
Or the time involved, yeah. I mean, do you have some sense of that? Because that would, in many cases, not have to exist in such a degree if, in fact, the information was up on the net.
Well, as a former record access officer, mm-hmm. I mean, I could tell you that I was working on various matters, land use, constitutional law, administrative law, and FOIL. And mm-hmm. it does encompass nights and weekends.
Yes, it does.
But again, FOIL requests aren't this size and magnitude. And FOIL requests exist in a point in time. Government, it's hard to have a hard and fast rule when it comes to public records because government does so much. Mm-hmm. And so much information is memorialized in different ways. So I hesitate to say whether or not like a particular public record is without a doubt not subject to any exceptions of FOIL.
All right. I mean, I think that's another to be discussed. The public can develop insights into government information and use that information. There are things that you might not think of that the public might be interested in. Is that something that you have thought about as you develop the mayor's five policies today?
Definitely. NYC Big Apps is a great example of taking public data and incorporating it into your own daily life. For example, if I'm a child, if I'm a new parent, and I want to take parks data to find out where playgrounds are. Well, maybe I want to also take my child to a restaurant afterwards. I can get private data of child-friendly restaurants and really plan my day accordingly. It's a catalyst for innovation and a catalyst to also see what the public is interested in, how they would use public data, and incorporate it into their daily lives. Yeah, and I think it's an exciting time, and it's very empowering for a daily citizen.
The public wants to know how clean the restaurant is, what have been the past signs in terms of their inspections. That's what they want to know.
Yeah, and DOH restaurant inspection data will be part of Big Apps.
I know, but you want to have the background as to how, not just for that, but how clean the parks are. You want to have, it'll be so much, you want
data,
the raw data. You want
all that data is online in a quickly accessible, convenient, easy to understand formula.
How many agencies are on? Is EDC, Health and Hospitals Corporation, NYCHA, some of the agencies that are not particularly city, are all of those agencies on? And is DOE going to be part of your apps in terms of what you're considering?
I know DOE definitely will be part of our apps in the early materials that I've seen. And again, we announced this today. We're going to roll it out later in the year. But I can definitely see and how we want this to be as helpful as possible. Again, we're driven by the customer. And so if it's helpful to the customer, that's the direction we go.
When you say that, will EDC be part of this also?
Yeah, I'm not sure as of now. But again, if we're driven by customer needs, and if
but people don't know what EDC is, so how can they ask? In other words, what I'm saying, the reason that I want the raw data there is because the customers don't know what is available from city agencies. They may know about parks, and they may know about schools, but EDC would be an example where people don't really know what EDC does. So you're never going to get a customer stating in the same way.
I mean, there are definitely ways to provide. The goal of NYC Big Apps, I should say, is to provide as much information to the public that they can embed in their daily lives and use for their own purposes. So, you know, to the extent that any data that's out there that we have, you know, we'll certainly try to incorporate into Big Apps.
What about environmental impact studies from City Planning Commission?
So I think, again, like, we want to be driven by the customer, and we want to give information.
The customers want EIS.
We want to give information in an easy-to-read, easy-to-understand, and convenient format. I mean, I would have to take a look and see to what extent we could provide EISs or what have you. But, again, it's driven by customer needs, and we want to address those specific needs as quickly as possible. And that's part of what customer service is all about.
This is a question that we've asked Dude a couple of times. But is each city agency responsible for the publication of its own city government data policy, or does that come under the mayor's office or under DOIT? How does each agency determine right now publication of its data?
I think we've done a lot of interagency coordination as of late. NYC City Map is a great example. Each agency used to have their own map features. We combine them in a one-stop shop so you can layer 311 complaints.
No, but if you don't have the raw data, you just don't know how true it is.
You do have data that's easily accessible, easy to understand, and that really engages and directly communicates with New Yorkers. And that's our goal.
How do you get ideas for what data should be available from the public? Is it just hits on NYC.gov? Do you have focus groups? How do you get that so-called will respond to what the public wants?
Well, we solicit feedback from customers in many different ways. We've, for example, the customer service survey earlier this year on 311 to get an example of where are we doing well, where do we have to improve. And another example was 311 online. Again, taking the top complaints, the top inquiries, and trying to address them and provide more information in these areas.
Okay. And there's a lot. I mean, the community boards are still, despite the Commissioner Cosgrave's efforts, are still quite upset with how they get the 311 data. People need it to take the raw data, just so you understand what the real customer wish is, not necessarily the person who's perusing NYC.gov, but people who really want to see where is the mold, where is the Where are the parks that are where are the hot spots? Where are things that are deeper than one what might one might get just by doing some layering, which is important, but it's not deep enough. So my question is, exactly, is that the only way you get entertainment information from the public is through that one survey? Is there any other way?
We announced a collaboration with Google as far as tracking online the traffic, where it goes, what people are interested in, what categories of information maybe we should be providing more information on. And we are constantly working to solicit feedback. And all avenues are open.
Okay. It was interesting this morning at Public Democracy, there was a woman from Microsoft who is a demographer, and she was pointing out that as we use the web, there are more digital divides dividing us even using the web. In other words, the issue of who uses one kind of social network versus another. Mm-hmm. And I just throw that out again because I feel really strongly that the data in its total form, as long as we agree to what that is, needs to be up there much more than what you are describing, because I don't think the public really knows the extent of government data. And unless they have it available to them, they cannot know how deep it is. So I believe that there will be a cost savings as opposed to as much as you say would cost to put it up.
Well, I mean, I think there's a shared goal here in providing information to the public, have an engaged, informed citizenry. And that's one of the initiatives with big apps, with 311 online, with 311 Twitter, with 311 itself, and in addition to all the other initiatives I mentioned. And I think what we're doing is trying to find the most efficient and effective way to engage and inform New Yorkers directly to as many New Yorkers as possible.
What do you consider raw data? What do you think is the percentage of actual raw data up on the net now versus what is actually available if we were to do it in the more extensive form of 991?
I mean, that granular of a discussion, like what is raw data versus some other form of data, I really couldn't speak to that. I think it would more of a do-it inquiry.
Right, and they're sitting at the conference right now. I understand
They certainly wanted to be here.
I know, and I appreciate that. When you say easy to understand, it sounds more like processed than what I consider raw data. What do you mean by easy to understand? And I'm delighted to have Councilmember Oliver Coppell here also.
What we mean is we want to provide – the goal of all these transparency initiatives is to engage in a meaningful conversation with the public. And so that means more than just – hitting them with a bunch of bureaucratic language. We want to speak their language, which is plain English. A great example is CPR. It's as easy to understand, easy to see, snapshot of our performance across many different agencies. And it recently won an award from the John F. Kennedy School of Government. And these are really innovative projects.
I used to read those proposals. So there's go ahead.
And these are really innovative projects. And again, that's why we were singled out by the White House for being a leader in this field and for engaging in best practices that should be replicated elsewhere in the country.
The other question I have is, when you have a document internally, isn't most of that information already online and scanned? In other words, when you're doing the homeless figures, when you're doing the mold figures, when you're doing the inspection for Department of Buildings, et cetera, most of that information is already online and able to be given to the public in a raw data format. Why do you think it would cost that huge amount that you stated in order to make it available online?
Again, not in
what you call easy to use and I call processed. I'm trying to find a way to have something that is both available to the public and absolutely clear that it comes in an unprocessed format.
Right. Well, I mean, again, agency records encompass a lot of different categories, and they contain a lot of different information. It might not be – you might have 1,000 records that say something that you could say in two lines. Our goal is to be as user-friendly with the public as possible. And we feel that we further the goals of transparency. The more user-friendly we can be, the more we can directly engage New Yorkers, and the more easy we can make it for them to find the information that they need.
So how do you work with each agency, or how does DOIT work with each agency to determine that agency's published internet record policy? How do you move data from raw, as I call it, to user-friendly or processed? How does each agency determine what data is going to go upline and what is not? Is it this consumer-friendly, consumer request? Because people don't know what agency. You ask the general public, does government do? They have no clue.
Well, I would say the difference between a successful transparency initiative and one that lacks success is whether or not it's customer-driven or bureaucratic-driven. And we don't have bureaucratic-driven policies. We respond to the specific needs
of the people. I would differ with the Department of Education, sir. Please. I'm just saying. That is not true. That's just not true. You can make an attempt to be customer-driven and not bureaucratic. But to say that you're not bureaucratic-driven is a stretch.
I mentioned earlier, and I take exception to that. I mean, I mentioned earlier the Parents Link, which is a great tool that's revolutionary that allows a parent or guardian of any child attending public school to monitor their child's performance, current and past. I think that's a great tool, and I think they should be commended for it. They work very hard to meet the public need. And I think they do a pretty good job. I'm very happy to be a part of it in
Ted
a small way.
Ted Brodheim is trying, but that is still a very challenging IBM system. I can go on and on about that system. Do not get me started about that system. But I would say that just leaving DOE aside for a moment, because I think parents do understand more what goes on at DOE than the general public understands about consumer affairs or EDC or some of these other agencies. So go back to my question. How do you decide what agencies' records go up on the net? In other words, if you talk to the Department of Consumer Affairs, which, to their credit, does lots of different inspections, how do you decide what raw data or what data goes up? Who makes that decision?
Again, it starts with the customer. We build our entire initiatives, all our applications, around the customer to satisfy their needs, to adjust to their preferences, to speak their language, and to make it easily accessible to them. And that is the basis of all our initiatives. It's been a practice that's been well recognized throughout the country. And I feel like we are a leader in this field, and it's a best practice that we embrace moving forward.
So do you have a published technical standards manual for the publication of city government data on the net, or do you just say if somebody's interested in this topic, we'll put it up?
I think the general premise is that we want to serve our customers well. We want to serve the public, and we have certain goals in mind when we do a transparency initiative. It's not how much paper can you put up on the internet. It's more how much can you engage New Yorkers, provide them with up-to-date, accurate information that's quick, convenient, and easy to understand.
So there's no determination per agency based on some policy regarding what data will go up. Is that what you're saying to me?
Well, I would say the starting point is meeting the customer's concerns. And moving from that, I'm not sure if there's further analysis, but again, it starts and ends with the customer. And
all right. I don't agree with that, but I'll let you stay with that if you wish. That is something that I absolutely do not agree. I think you need to have a technical policy, you need to have standards, and you need to say that
we're already taking ourselves away from the customer when we're doing.
But the issue is the customer. The New Yorker in general, I think I know more about city government than most people, as does the other colleague here. And believe me, the customer on the street has no idea what city government does. They don't know what state government does. They don't know what federal government does. That's why I believe that we need to produce this data in a form that they can understand, but it has to be much more comprehensive than what you're suggesting, because the public does need, it's their data, it's their tax money, and they do need to have it now that we have the tools and the portals to be able to do that. It's a different world. 20 years ago, we couldn't do it.
I think we agree on the common point that we want to provide the public with up-to-date, accurate information to lead to an informed citizenry, but we want to do it in as efficient and effective manner as possible.
I think you're sort of answering this, but has there been any effort to consolidate government data into one searchable web portal, or is that what you consider your NYC.gov? Is that, in other words, you're saying that you already do that?
Well, NYC.gov is one of the largest municipal online portals in the country.
Well, we're the biggest city.
Over 70,000 visitors, over 2 million a year visit. Recently won a municipal government award. As of last year?
I don't want to hear about all those prizes. Go ahead.
I think it does a pretty good job. I mean, it's as far as online portals go, it provides information, it's easy to use, it's user-friendly, and I think it I think we're well served by NYC.gov and other initiatives such as City Map, such as NYC Stimulus Tracker, such as the Parents Link I mentioned earlier.
I know them all. Does any of that data currently published in a non-proprietary format that are usable by the public? Example, of course, would be XML. However, I also want to add one of the aspects is when you the City Planning Commission records. Those are definitely, I have to say, processed. That is not something that is in a format, a raw format that the public would like to see to be able to manipulate on their own. Again, you're not going to be changing the data. You're going to be manipulating in an open fashion so that the public can see what the original document is, but maybe they want to look at it in a different format.
I think we are heading in the same direction. Again, like the application NYC Big Map, Big Apps would allow the public to take data, public data, and incorporate it into their daily life for their own purposes. And it would result in new ways to see old data. And I think it's interesting because it shows not what we're interested in, not what someone at an agency is interested in with the data, but what the public is interested in the data and their interest.
I mean, I think the issue there, though, is it's still data that you have determined the public wants as opposed to the raw data. So maybe you're halfway there, but you just need to go a little bit further and talk about the raw data because the agencies have access to it. When agencies come and testify, they have access to it. All we're saying is that same data should be available to the public, again, with certain restrictions.
I think we're heading in the same direction, and again, with NYC Big Apps, it replicates best practices around the country, such as the Applications for Democracy. I believe you mentioned it in the opening statements. Again, this is a great project, and we're really excited about it. It leverages our local creative community and sort of gives us a new interpretation of old data that we've had for a while.
Okay. Now, D.C., meaning Washington, D.C., San Francisco, and Boston, have you looked carefully at how their data is being presented? Because it is in a format that people feel is raw data and is something that is going further than what you're proposing.
We definitely, for example, again, I'll talk about Big Apps. Application for Democracy sounds like what you're describing, giving data out there so the public can manipulate it, provide a fresh perspective on data that we've had for a while, and really create new and innovative ways to look at information. And that's been the model for NYC Big Apps and the model for other transparency initiatives.
Okay. We're looking at something that's more sustainable and that is rawer than what you're suggesting. But I understand that you think that what you're doing is sufficient. We're obviously stating that we need to do more.
I think we are always looking for new ways to engage the public, provide them with information, and serve their needs. We're trying to do so, again, with the taxpayer in mind as well, trying to do it as effectively and efficiently as possible.
Either through RSS or some other format, do you tell New Yorkers when city government data has been updated? I know that we're certainly working to tell New Yorkers when there's this a hurricane or a tornado or an oil spill or whatever.
Well, there's
but
a great
how about
program
data?
Called NYC Notify to let people know of, the tornado.
That I'm familiar with. I'm talking about data, which is not as sexy as a tornado.
Well, I think DeWitt would disagree.
You think that data is as sexy as a tornado?
Well, no.
I don't think so.
So without comparing what's more sexy, I think, again, I'm not very attuned to RSS and HTTP and what have you, WWF.
But just letting people know what's going on. In other words, how do you notify people when, example, there are new information about the number of homeless, et cetera? And people have to go now to what I call processed, but you call something else data in order to get that information. How do people know that there's a new census out for individuals who are homeless, just as an example, or new mold numbers or whatever?
Well, one example is 311 Twitter, right? Well, where you, through a mobile device, you can get information from the city as it happens on alternative side parking, on maybe a health warning that's outbreak, maybe like a heat warning. things like that. So, I mean, we're constantly looking at new ways to engage the public and provide them with information that they need. And to the extent we can do that, we will. And we've proven that over the last 7 years.
Okay. Well, I think what I'm saying is there needs to be more notification when there is data that's available. I think that what Skylar did regarding the notification in terms of emergencies is terrific. But this is a different group. It's a different interest sector.
But again, we roll out these initiatives so the public will take advantage of them. So we don't roll them up. We don't roll them out for the sake of rolling them out.
I understand that, but I'm just saying this, that data is something that as people get used to it, they will actually learn more about government, feel more empowered, which is what we're trying to do to the citizenry, and make sure that they are aware. But if they don't know about it, they're not. It's hard to empower people. It's not something that any administration wants to do. I understand that, but that's what the whole purpose of data.
Again, like 7 years ago, we didn't have many of these initiatives in place. And we've done a lot to date, and we'll do a lot more in the future.
Right. We've been joined by Councilmember Tish James from Brooklyn. Thank you very much. Any questions? Okay. Councilmember James, do you have any questions?
No.
Okay. All right. I want to thank you very much. I think we're still going to be discussing this because we
looking
do not
forward.
Agree on the depth to which this data needs to be produced. I appreciate what you've done so far. But there needs to be much more depth in terms of what we are considering for the city of New York, because I believe that the federal government does go further than what you suggested, despite what you heard today. And I also believe that these other cities, be they progressive cities, are doing more than what we are, and we need to do more. So thank you very much.